Log Talk Radio.
Soto, he balled out. Strasburg balled out. Garrett Cole is no longer a member of the Astros, so he said. We'll get into that too. Steph Curry broke his hand. That is a wrap. That is a wrap. The Warriors, it's this season's a wash. Punt on it. Let it go. But the Suns got in that backside. We're going to talk about that. Cards versus Niners tonight. We're going to dive deep into that as the show goes on. And we have two special guests coming on. Jose Romero from AP, freelance sports reporter in Phoenix, the lead freelance sports reporter in Phoenix for AP, and Earl Burnett, casual sports very own and creator of KSRN, where you also can hear the Cave Show. They'll be joining us today, one at 110, one at about 132-ish. So we'll get into that. But like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And you know what Thursdays are? Thursdays are cigars with the Cave Show. And we are live, of course, from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School and Chandler Heights. 4991 South Alma School, to be exact. Get in here, let them know that PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase on Thursdays when it's Cigars with the Cave Show. 15% if you get in here while I'm here. There's a television on everywhere. Back in the lounge, there's all the TVs are on. Outside, all the TVs are on. Get down here. You can watch the NFL, NBA, college football, college basketball when it starts. Everything is on. Get you a stick. They serve beer and wine. Like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. And if you let them know PLR told you to come down here, you will get 10% off of your cigar purchase. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Look, let's get into this. Let's get in this and get this started right now. Call-in number, all calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. I'm going to open this up because we're going to be very tight for time today with guests. Let's get our first caller in here. Thank you for calling the KSO PLR. This is PLR.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
I don't want to talk to you. You're going to tell me you were right. I, you know what I said? I knew I would hear that voice right away. Go ahead. Say it. Get it off the way. Say it.
I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so.
You said it. Yeah, you were 100% right.
Yeah.
Yep, 100%
like
right.
I told you. See what happens when you all doubt me?
I'll tell you something. I picked the Astros to win. I was going to stick with them. My feelings aren't hurt that the Nationals won. When I look at both these teams and I see Greinke with the Astros, Diamondback. When I see Huddy with the Nationals and Eden and Corbin, you know, Diamondback. I feel good for those guys because all of them were great guys when they were here, all great guys to interview, and I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so am I. Once they got rolling in ninth inning, I knew it was theirs.
Let me ask you this. Should the Strohs have gone to Garrett Cole?
Should they what with Garrett Cole?
Should they have gone right to Gerrit Cole?
Yeah, I think they should have.
Instead of going to Wolf. I mean, we could take, everyone could second guess it now, right, because it's done. Because there's no guarantee Gerrit Cole would have been himself and would have come in and got everybody out. So we can all second guess. But I think once he warmed up and you were going to bring – actually, I wouldn't have gone away from Greinke. He had only thrown about 75 pitches. So what, he gave up a home run and a single. I think he would have pitched out of it. I would not have left him. Now, I'm not saying we don't know. We're all – at this point, we could all be, you know, sideline, Monday morning, whatever. But I don't think I would have left him.
All right. I'll buy that.
But good series. The home team, home field meant nothing.
I've always said that home field advantage doesn't mean a thing.
See, I thought that only mattered in hockey, to be honest with you.
Nope. A lot of people think that, but it's not true.
But, hey, he was distancing himself as soon as that game was over. And if you notice, he thanked everybody except the manager.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that, but that was – I don't think there's any way he comes back.
I doubt it.
So and you know, he wasn't part of that World Series team. He came after.
Right.
So I don't think he has the same, you know, I'm gonna give the Astros a hometown discount. I'm going to do this. He's going to go get paid. He's going to go to a contender, but he's going to go get paid.
Yeah, I believe that.
So, but yes, sir. So you were right. I said it. That's all you're going to get. I said it.
Yep. But I told you, I mean, you know, a lot of people were telling me like that. You really think it's going to happen that way? Oh, come on. They were the sleeper pick, so you got to go with that.
Yep. Yep. So that's it, my friend. That's it. With
another baseball note, Encarnacion is not coming back to the Yankees.
Do they need him?
Nah, I don't think so.
Excuse me. Yeah, I didn't. Well, if you get Giancarlo Stanton healthy, and you got Aaron Judge, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
So I don't see what else they would need to do.
Yeah.
So they're
short lived, but that's how it goes sometimes, I guess.
It is. It is. So. Look, they are fine. They're going to be fine. The Yankees are going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't doubt that.
They're going to be fine. Like I said, you still have all those bats. But they need pitching.
Especially in middle relief.
Yeah, they need pitching. As middle relief, they need a starter. I know we battle about this. They need starting pitching. I still believe that. I don't think they have enough starting pitching.
I don't think if they're starting pitching is a problem, it's the later innings that are the problem, not so much starting.
Yeah, but we watch Strasburg, when needed, go deep in the game. We watched all these guys go deep in games. You've got to have a pitcher that's going to get you more than five innings, and now, okay, let's go get him. I think you got to have a guy that can go into games for you. I don't think you can win. If you look at the World Series, and you look at the guys that, and you looked at the pitchers that were there, those guys went deep into games. They didn't just pitch, you know, six innings and go.
No.
So they threw. So I maybe that's just me, but I think you have to go a little deeper than what the Yankees and the Dodgers did.
Absolutely.
So we shall see. We shall see what happens. But
and
I think
they're
the Yankees need to go after pitcher.
Yeah. And well, they don't have the sports books say that the Nationals will not repeat this year, but the Astros look to be the favorite.
Well, and they should
be. Figure that.
I mean, well, they still have Verlander. They're going to still have Greinke, and if they can, and like I said, they got some other pitchers. If they go after another pitcher that's cheaper, I see them still being a contender. I mean, it's not like they're going to go away. And last I checked, Altuve's still on that team, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, Springer's still on that team, right?
Yes.
So, but buddy, look, I'm hard on
time
today. I apologize. Yep, I will talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
All right, buddy. Always good to catch up with Lou. Always, always good. I knew he'd be the first call telling me that he was right. I knew it. But let me bring on my man here, the one, the only 22-year vet in this game, lead AP freelance sports reporter for Phoenix, the man himself, my buddy, Jose Romero. Romero, welcome to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR.
What's up, Paul? How you doing, man? Good afternoon.
Oh, man, you know, I was wrong. I picked the Strohs and six. I've got Lou calling the show to tell me I'm wrong. I got my man, the Cuban Cowboy, texting me I'm wrong. I got other people texting me I'm wrong. I think, Romero, what they forget, I'm a married man. My wife tells me I'm wrong every day that ends in Y. I can live with that. I'm good with that.
Well, you know, I'll commiserate with you because I picked the Dodgers, so I was way more off than you were.
So who in the world saw two World Series teams with pitching that good? Who saw the home team that couldn't scratch across one victory?
No, there's like no way. If you went into Vegas, I'm sure there was a prop bet, right? There had to have been like there's probably some sort of prop bet that said that this is gonna happen, that laid out these odds, and somebody just probably put $100 on it and just won a bunch of money. But you know, that might have been one in a million right there, man. That was crazy to have it happen that way.
So let me ask you, and now we can all play Monday morning quarterback. We can do the what ifs. We can blame everybody that we want because it's over. Should they have gone right from Greinke to Gerrit Cole, or should they have just left Greinke in the game?
Well, I mean, he seemed to be doing fine. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to second guess, man, because AJ Hinch has gotten it right so many times, and you know, just keep in mind they won the World Series a couple of years ago, and they were right there in the playoffs a year ago as well. So, I mean, it's hard to find the everybody can sit here now, just like Monday morning quarterbacks, and say, yeah, he should have. And but I mean, the guy was winning. He put together a team and a formula that had worked. I mean, you have to think that you're going to pull at least one of these games out at home, right? If you're the Astros, but. I got no problem with it. I mean, yeah, it would have been great to see Gerrit Cole get in there, but I mean, there was a scenario for him to get in there, and that was if the Astros had the lead, and they didn't. So, you know, and I'm reminded of what was it, when Buck Showalter was managing Baltimore, and he had that stud closer. I think it was Zach Britton was his name. It was in the wild card game a couple of years back, and he didn't go to him in a really tight game, just opted not to go with him in a situation where they could have used him to hold down a lead or a tight game. And he was just ripped for that the next day. How can you not go with your super all-star closer in a wild card game? So these things happen to managers, right? They make these decisions on gut feeling, I guess, a lot of times, sometimes analytics, and there you have it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this question, because we know this in basketball. There are times where the star says, coach, it's time to put me in. Let's go. And a lot of times the coaches, you know, do it because their star is saying, I mean, remember Kobe Bryant got hurt from playing too many minutes, and there were times where he just got up and went to the scorer's table, and D'Antoni is still hurt because you weren't going to tell Kobe he wasn't going in the game. And in football, we've seen wide receivers go over to offensive coordinators and running backs go to offensive coordinators and say, okay, time to stop messing around. Get the damn ball to me already. How come baseball, we really don't see that? We don't see guys look at their managers and say, okay, let's get to that bullpen. Or you know what, leave him out. Or the manager starts coming out to get Greinke, and Greinke's like, I'm not coming out this game. You're going to have to pry this ball out of my hand. Why in baseball don't we see that like we would in other sports?
Josh, that's a great question. I mean, maybe something like that happens down in the steps of the dugout or something and away from public view, but these cameras catch so much, right? But it would be pretty cool, I think, to see, on camera, live, in-game or something, put me in there right freaking now. You know, that would just be – that would be something. I know it's such a traditional game, right? There's just a lot of archaic things to baseball that, you know, kind of those unwritten rules where you're not trying to show up the skipper and maybe that's part of it. I don't know, but it's just, and we both know it's that game that's just been around forever, and yet the other games have kind of changed with the times, and baseball in a lot of ways has not.
On the Cave Show with PLR on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, live today from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, the one and only Jose Romero. Yeah, how cool would it have been, honestly, if AJ goes out to get Greinke and Greinke looks at him and says, I don't know why you walked your ass out here. I am not coming out this game. I've only thrown 70-some pitches. I feel good. I know I gave up the homer. I know I gave up the walk. I'm going to get this next guy. He's going to hit a DP, and we're out. So, AJ, you go back to that dugout.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, it's Greinke, right? I mean, we know firsthand how his personality is. It's different, right? And, I mean, I think everybody in the world, especially us in Arizona, probably would have been shocked to see Greinke, you know, fire back like that. It's just not really him, right? So, not to say that he's not a competitor or passive by any stretch, but he just has his way. And maybe a guy like Garrett Cole or Justin Verlander is the guy who would be out there saying, I'm not coming out. But it was Greinke, and it's different strokes for different folks.
Let me ask you about Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole is about to get paid, plain and simple. I mean, there's no getting around it. Dude is about to get broke off. At the end of the game, though, he didn't have on the Astros hat. And if I could just let me bring it up here, this is what he put on his Twitter. Houston last night was a tough one for us, and the heartbreak hasn't gotten any easier today. Before I became an Astro, I didn't know how much about Houston. But after just 2 years, you have made it feel like home. So here's what I know. You have been overwhelmingly friendly, welcoming, and kind to my family and me. The Astros organization has been such a pleasure to play for. The Cranes are indeed special people and great owners. I've met lifelong friends on a team and in the community and learned a little about pitching along the way with a wink emoji. Playing in front of you is really something special and has been such an honor. The incredible support and passionate roars inspire our team to play at the highest level we possibly can. This is a relationship between a team and its fans like no other that I know. Thank you for making us better people and better players. This was a great season. We have a lot to be proud of. That sounds like a goodbye letter.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It sounds like trusting the free agency waters and, you know, who can blame them, right? I mean, you know, he's a dominant guy. He's a dominant pitcher. He's an ace. He can go somewhere and be the guy. But, I mean, we've seen strange things happen in the baseball free agency market. So, yeah, that definitely had that tone to it for sure.
Did you notice, though, he said organization, he said owners, he said players. There was someone missing in that. There was no thanks to manager. There was no thanks to AJ.
Yeah.
That was missing. I'm gonna do like these young people say. I'm gonna pretend I'm on The View or The Chew or one of those shows. I'm going to read these tea leaves. The tea leaves are telling me that doesn't sound like he had a great relationship with AJ because his name wasn't on there. Am I reading these tea leaves wrong, as these young people say?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, it's the personality, right? Like, he probably said something to AJ to the effect of, yeah, you should have put me in there. And, you know, maybe this is going to stick with him for a while. On the flip side, maybe it burns for a couple weeks, and then he gets over it and realizes he's got a great situation in Houston. They're definitely going to be contenders next year. So maybe he does come back. I mean, you know, how can you not think that they're going to be right there again with those three guys, you know, those three starting pitchers. So, but yeah, I mean, look, we've seen managers and players have worse relationships, you know, and get over these things. So we'll see.
Live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, the one, the only, Jose Romero joining the Cave Show with PLR. So, Romero, check this out. If you're Gerrit Cole, and I'm on him a lot right now, you just said the Astros, great team. If he comes back, that's a hell of a starting three. Front line to the rotation, I should say. If he leaves, doesn't it say he has to go to a team like either the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Cubs or the Dodgers? Doesn't it say that? Because those are the only four teams, really, one, that could pay him the kind of scratch that he's looking to get paid, and two, the teams that are going to be right there ready to go. Wouldn't it have to be one of those teams?
You would think, right? But, I mean, we saw Bryce Harper take the money and go to Philadelphia, and look what happened to them. So, you know, I'm sure that the Yankees are going to pounce all over this if he goes. You know, I'm sure the Yankees are going to be front and center. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, they had a pretty nice rotation, but they couldn't get over the hump. And they didn't win a World Series the whole decade, right? So
nope. They're
eager and a lot of pressure on them to win again. So let the Gerrit Cole sweepstakes begin soon, you think.
So I have no problem with players in any sport making as much money as they can. I think the NFL are a bunch of asses for having a salary cap, really to protect owners from themselves, because players should make money. They all have a shelf life. Where I have a problem with baseball is 10-year deals. So if before I'd give a guy 10 years at $30 million, I would opt to pay him 5 years at $50 million, because baseball is the one sport that in 5 years, you legitimately may not be as good, but yet I'm roped into you. So when will GMs and owners start to say, you know what, this 10-year, 9-year for $300 million is nuts, but I'm willing to do 5 years at $50 million. I'm willing to do 5 years at $55 million. So that way you get the money that you want up front, and after 5 years, we're no longer married to each other.
Yeah, I think Bryce Harper kind of is the exception there. I really do think that owners are starting to go that way. I mean, look at the last couple of years of free agency, Paul. Like, how long has it taken for guys like J.D. Martinez and some other guys to get signed, right? I mean, they were into spring training before those guys even got deals. And, you know, these guys came out in free agency thinking they're going to make huge, huge dollars. And the agents and the owners, you know, the owners just kind of waited them out. So I think that is the trend. I think Gerrit Cole is the guy who's going to get a big money deal. But you're right. I mean, you know, look at Clayton Kershaw. He's definitely on the downside for the Dodgers, and still is getting paid a lot of money. You know, that's one of those things where, you know, you almost wish you could sort of backload it like the NFL, right? But the money's not guaranteed in the NFL. So that's why they do that. But go ahead.
I was going to say, do we start calling him Justin Kershaw or Clayton Verlander? Because is this when it starts? Because, listen, if you're going to be that type of pitcher with that type of rep and that type of frontline money, you can't look like that in the World Series.
Yeah, no, you can't. And teams, you know, are the good GMs and the good salary cap guys, you know, the money guys, they plan for this kind of thing, right? So teams go years without being able to offer a big money deal to a player, and then they get that moment where they have a ton of money, you know, have a ton of money to go out there and spend. You know, the Padres have kind of operated like that with Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer. You know, they have all of these really inexpensive players, and then they have these two guys making fat money in Hosmer and Machado. So I think that kind of leads me to think that there might be some other teams that might go after Gerrit Cole that do have that ability to give him that 10-year deal that he wants.
Here's what I don't understand. We've seen it with football where everything has gone to the quarterback, and for years I said there should be a separate cap for the quarterbacks versus the regular players, and then if you want to exceed that cap, then you start pinching off from the other players. But in baseball, like football, where we fall in love with the guys that throw it all over the yard and they have, you know, the arm strength, they could do this and do that. But when I look at the teams that are leading their divisions and the best teams in the NFL, they all can run and they all can stop the run. And there are some, you know, outliers, like Tom Brady doesn't have a quote-unquote great running back, but they can run when they need to, and their defense is great. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the best running game, but he's Aaron Rodgers. They can run when they need to, and they can defend. But in baseball, we do this every year. We pay all this money to these position guys. But when we get to the World Series, who was it? It was Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin against Verlander, Cole, and Greinke. So
yeah.
If I'm not even a baseball GM and I see that you need pitching, defense, and guys that hit the ball and keep it in play, why then do we go the route of, say, the Yankees and the Dodgers who just want to get a single and then wait for someone to hit a home run? Am I missing something?
I don't think so. I mean, look at the home run numbers this season, just overall in Major League Baseball. I mean, teams were breaking franchise records, you know, all over the place. And it has become that kind of a league, right? You know, get people on base and hope to go deep. But you're right. I mean, the Nationals prepared well for this by going out and getting Corbin. The Astros went and got Greinke during the deadline. So I look at some teams and I think of the Dodgers because I kind of follow them a little bit closely. You know, they're trying to build up to their minor league system and bring guys along in the minors. They've done a pretty good job of not giving up their best minor league prospects and you know, getting those guys to the major leagues and surrounding them with veterans. It didn't work for them this year, but I still think that's a pretty smart way to go. You know, if you can avoid giving up those prospects and then paying a few guys the big bucks, you know, that at some point that's going to pay off. You know, the defense and the pitching, you know, if that fails you in the postseason, a lot of times that's just bad luck. And the Nationals, look at the Nationals. They got hot, and that's the only way to put it.
Yeah. Last question. Did any part of you last night see Scherzer celebrating and you see Corbin celebrating and you see Huddy in the bullpen and you see Greinke pitch a hell of a game and you see Adam Eden celebrating? Did just for like just a little piece of you, just a little piece of you say, damn it, that World Series was ours in Arizona?
Not really, because I tend to detach myself a little bit. I mean, I like the individuals. I like the guys, you know, the good guys. Daniel Hudson is a really good guy to talk to, when he was here. So you root for the individuals. I didn't really, get too attached. It did sort of work out strangely that way, though, right? I mean, you know, there was so much former Diamondback presence in that World Series. And, I mean, even down to Chip Hale. I mean, remember when he was holding back Dave Martinez from going after the umpires the other night in Game 6? So,
right.
You know, Chip Hale from the center. I don't get too attached to it. I'm just pretty happy for these guys, especially like a Fernando Rodney. He's like 40-some years old, and he's going to get a ring. That's just fantastic.
Again, you're being nice. We all know Fernando Rodney pitched with Andy Koufax. So let's just be real. He can now go and retire, draw his Social Security, and put that ring on his finger.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I just want to know what you are for Halloween.
Oh, I'm going as a black dad with dreadlocks.
Well, let's see. If you did the cigar thing, since you're at the cigar bar there, you could be you could be the version of what's the Celtics owner? Red Auerbach.
Oh, Red Auerbach. Yeah, I got just a little bit too much hair, though. Got a little bit too much hair for red. but what about you, my friend? What are you going as?
I am going to go as the head coach of Juventus FC football soccer team because my son is dressing up as Cristiano Ronaldo. He was one of the great soccer players in the world. And I couldn't think of anything else to do, so I'm like, okay, so I might as well just accessorize with my kid. And so I got a pair of like nerdy glasses and an Adidas sweatsuit, and I'm just gonna put a whistle around my neck, and I'm the coach, and he's the player.
There you go. Sounds good. You know, Ronaldo has like 45 million Instagram followers too.
Yeah, exactly. And the great part is my kid got the line cut into his hair yesterday, so he really looks the part. It looks pretty awesome.
Oh, he's ready. He's ready. Yeah, my kid's going to Steph Curry. I know that because I bought the uniform. I asked him if he wanted to let his little brother break his hand, and he said no. So so he's that, and I forget what my other son is. My wife bought his costume. I forget what it's called. I can't keep up with these two, so I've given up. So, but yeah, that's our deal. But yeah, that's me. I'm going as a black dad with dreadlocks. We'll see how far that gets me.
Yeah, and my daughters. I can't leave them out. They're going to be twin princess Jasmines. So
that's
from
nice.
So you got the little girls. Got to be little girls. That's great.
I will be looking for those pictures on social media, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Hey, thank you, especially for the short notice coming on, joining me. What's up next for you? Baseball's over, football's rolling. What's next, and where can everyone find you and check you out?
Yeah, Romero Jose M on Twitter, and appreciate that. And I've been at every Coyotes home game so far. It's pretty fun. They look a lot better. They look pretty good. They had a pretty bad loss last night, but I think a lot of that had to do with coming off the East Coast road trip and, you know, only having one day to kind of get reacclimated to Arizona. So tough loss to Montreal. Montreal's a good team. But I'm out there a lot. I have yet to go to a Suns game as in a working capacity, but I will in November. November 10th, I'll be there against New Orleans. And other than that, man, I'm just watching my kids a lot and picking up my son from school and trying to freelance some longer-term projects as much as I can.
All right, buddy. Hey, listen, again, I thank you for joining, especially on such short notice, and we will definitely catch up, and I know we'll see each other somewhere because we're both everywhere.
Yep, you definitely are, man. You definitely are.
All right, buddy. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
All right, have a good one.
You too. That's my main man right there, Jose Romero, 22-year vet. If you look at him, you wouldn't think he was over the age of 30, and he's been doing this for so long. Lead AP freelance sports reporter in Phoenix. Make sure you follow him and catch up. I got the man coming up now, the one, the only Earl Burnett. He's going to join us in exactly 15 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Earl Burnett, casual sports, the creator of KSRN, and the biggest Cardinal apologist you will ever find in your life, my man, Earl Burnett. Earl, what happened?
What's going on, Paul? How you doing, man? It's been a long time,
man. What's happening with you, bro?
Oh, man, just, you know, going at it 100% every day. A lot going on, man. I'm always caught up in something. A meeting here, a meeting there. It's crazy, man.
Doesn't stop. But see, this is what I tell people all the time. Here's the difference between business owners and business employees. Business owners are busy and they want to be busy. Business employees are busy and they're like, damn, I can't wait till this day is over. Owners don't think that. That's the difference. So your Cardinals are playing the Niners. Now, I had the clip, but I couldn't get it to upload. But the clip was don't know how good these Niners are, Paul, PLR. We'll see. We'll see how the season goes and what happens. Earl, they're 7-0, man, and that defense is beating the crap out of a whole bunch of people.
Is that why you call me on the show, man, so you can gloat about something you said that I said? Come on, Paul. Are you kidding me, man?
No, man. I want to.
And you were going to actually play a clip, too?
Hey, but I have a clip, too, on myself. When I said the Cardinals were not going to win more than two games, and you should play them like you're playing a hand of spades. And you said, give this team some time, make the defense prove that they can be better, and Kyler's going to prove that this team can be better. And all that you said has come true. What has changed? And I kind of outlined one thing a couple weeks ago, or last week. I gave the running attempts from the Cardinals for weeks 2, 3, and 4, and then the previous 3 weeks before last week. And the one thing that seemed like it has changed, they've supported Kyler with that running game a little bit better. And he seems to have just taken off and read everything. Is that the biggest difference, or is there more that I'm not seeing?
That's the biggest difference, is that Cliff Kingsbury just kind of planted by ear starting out, trying to find out what the identity will be, and then seeing just how much his rookie quarterback, how much can he get away with as far as taking care of the ball, as far as pushing the ball downfield, all these things play a factor, and then you add that running game, it starts to balance things out. Now Kyler's taking care of the ball. The whole offense is a little bit better. And considering if they can score in the red zone, of course. But all things considered, they look a lot better. They look better than they started in the preseason, and of course, the first three games and those last three games. All still tuners to me. I still think we're kind of still like almost in the ending stage of a preseason still, because we didn't have a preseason pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still putting pieces together, and we're not quite there yet. We're still getting out there and just kind of testing some things right now. And a lot of things are not in the right spot right now, because we're not a cohesive unit yet on defense yet. So it's a lot of pieces missing.
And this is not a knock to Fitz, because we all know Fitz, and we all know how good Fitz is, especially in the day. But Kyler Murray is doing this without real receivers right now. He has obviously that possession receiver in Fitz. And up until – and I want to see what David Johnson does tonight, since he's going to play. But Chase Edmonds, to quote my man Billy from Purple Rain, Chase is squeezing you, kiddo. You better come play tonight, because he better not run like the tiptoe burglar tonight. He better actually run hard and run strong, because there's another guy that they just traded for that's in there.
Actually, David's not playing tonight. So.
Oh, okay. I thought he was.
No, he's out tonight. Him and Chase is out tonight as well. So the whole run load is going to be all three new guys that by committee, all three new guys, but more mainly, of course, Drake, of course, because he is the new so-called shiny piece that I added. But, David's not going to be out there tonight, so it's going to be interesting. And I don't really think we will have a running game tonight. I mean, just from looking at this defense we're faced against. And we're still learning, and our running backs are learning the system. You can't just come out there and learn the system and go up against a defense, the second best defense in the league. So I think what we're going to be doing tonight, just my opinion, to have some sort of running game, I think we're going to be doing it in a 5 spread and letting Kyler throw those 5 and 6 yard passes to be our running game, and he'd be the running game with his legs. So I don't see us having an actual running game tonight, man.
How's Kyler doing it? In all honesty, how's he doing it?
Well, he's doing it basically with skill, man. The guy, he's been playing football for a long time. He knows how to play the game. He's not afraid of the game. Nothing's too big for him. Matter of fact, he's already itching to get back out there, you know, on Thursday night after playing on Sunday. He's got the it factor. He's got the it factor as a quarterback. He knows the system. That's confidence. So confidence is, can breed a whole lot of things. If he's confident in the system, then he knows what he's doing, so he knows he's not going to make that mistake. What I need to know is we don't have everything he needs to be where we want to be right now. But how's he doing it? He's doing it with pure talent, man, pure talent. Pure talent and, of course, being ahead of the game, knowing his offense. So, I mean, you got to manage. It's kind of cool to see a rookie take care of the ball the way he takes care of the ball. Now, that could be a lot due to they're not really pushing it that much down the field and they're kind of protecting him a lot. But still, a rookie, 4 picks in 7 games. But, you know, there's another quarterback that's throwing picks left and right. But this guy knows how to take care of the ball because he knows his system so well.
On the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only, Earl Burnett, casual sports creator of KSRN. A couple more, and I'll let you slide. When you talk about not throwing picks, you know, my quarterback in Chicago, he don't throw picks. He just don't throw it to anybody. And the difference
is. Sorry to hear that.
The difference is Kyler does throw to his team. Tonight, though, specifically tonight, that Niners defense, they are complete from the front four to the back seven. And they just keep coming at you. And what I was impressed with was after the game last week on Twitter, Richard Sherman put on there, oh, well, this was the easiest pick because this is what they did. He described the play on Twitter and told you exactly what was going to happen and said, my only concern was to make sure I caught the ball when it came my way. What is Cliff going to do tonight to make sure someone as smart and as talented as Richard Sherman isn't going to do that to a rookie quarterback?
Nothing. I don't think he can do anything. This defense is way too disciplined. They're way too sound. They're way too – they're a unit. They're a connected unit. They're playing together, being led by, of all things, a rookie themselves. Joey with Nick Bosa just, man, disrupting all kinds of things. So – yeah, I mean, can they be passed on? Can they be run on? It's all going to be determined about what our O-line looks like. And I don't think our O-line is up to that challenge. We're missing a piece tonight. Probably Murray's going to be out. The right tackle's going to be out. So I don't know. I don't think he can do anything to stop that train because those guys are really, really well coached and really disciplined. That's the point that gets me, that discipline, to the point where they don't make a lot of mistakes. You have to beat them physically to force them, I mean, to beat them on the field. So I don't see us getting up to the challenge to be that physical. We don't get that physical. We get pushed around a lot. So sadly to say it, that's, this team is just way too powerful. We're not ready for this type of game right now.
When I look at the standings in the NFL, and everyone wants to throw the ball all over the yard. That's the new thing now. Let's throw it, throw it, throw it. Mm-hmm. But when I look at the teams that are really good, the Packers, yeah, they try to run. They try to stick to the run, but all bets are off because they have Aaron Rodgers. And the same with New England, all bets are off because they have Tom Brady. But New Orleans is a running team. San Francisco is a running team. The Colts are a running team. Baltimore is a running team. Why is it, and I know we talked about this numerous times before, why is it that everyone wants to look cute, but we all know the formula to win? It's running and defense. And it's, I said this to Jose Romero before about baseball. Everyone wants to hit a home run, a three-run homer. But the teams that were in the World Series, they had pitching. And then they had players that could put the ball in play and put pressure on you. In the NFL, the same thing. Why are we getting into all this cute stuff when we know the formula? It hasn't changed in over 100 years. Why can't we? Teams understand that, and why do they all have to try to get cute?
I don't know, man. Everybody wants to follow the cute trend. I mean, the cute trend gets everybody all hyped up about scoring points, and the seats get filled, and the scoreboard gets lit up. But those things, like you were saying, just, you know, they're regular season. Those are regular season luxuries. They don't translate to playoff football. And so teams like that, air raid, you name it, run and shoot, all those air it out type of offenses, there's only one thing that disrupts those offenses that they do not like. They do not like seeing on the field, and that's physicality. When a team is physical with them, what are they doing? They're bringing their DBs up and knocking those receivers off those routes, and those receivers are like, hey, look at him, ref, he pushed me. He pushed me. You know, they don't like that physicality stuff. And they get thrown off all the time. All those offenses are based on timing. So all the timing and everything gets thrown off when a physical team comes up and knocks them in the mouth. That's usually what's going to happen, and that only usually happens in the playoff game. And maybe ever so often in a regular season game, you'll see a team like the 49ers that all they can do is that because they can't throw the ball all over the yard because their quarterback right now is mediocre right now.
Yeah.
So all they can do is, hey, let's just be physical. Let's do what we do. 272 attempts of running the ball all season. All so far, these guys run the ball all the time. They are averaging 181.1 yards per game. That's unheard of. That is like, okay, you better come with your lunch pail to stop this team. And I'm telling you right now, the only chance the Cardinals have to stay in this game, I ain't going to say to win it, I'm saying to stay in it, is to stop that run. That's it. Because if you can force Jimmy G to throw the ball a lot, man, now he's got 7 picks on the season. He's throwing picks left and right. You can force him to give you the ball. But nobody's been able to do it yet. They come with their lunch pail. They come ready to knock you out. And if you're not standing up to the challenge, you're going to just bow down and say, thank you, sir. We're going. We'll go about our business. Get back in our place.
So no upset tonight? You don't think?
What'd you say?
No upset. You think?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of upset stomachs. There'll be a lot of upset. Dudes gonna be throwing up all over the place. These dudes gonna get punched in the gut. No, there's not gonna be no upset tonight. I mean, the Cardinals will probably hang around for a quarter, but you know what? I look at this game, and three and out are going to be key in this game. Three and out. If we get too many three and outs, just look for the 49ers to just methodically beat us down with that time on possession and running that football. And I mean, it's just going to be a gut-wrenching thing to look at tonight, and it could get ugly. So, I mean, like I said, the only glimmer of hope we have is if our superstar quarterback-to-be, I'm not saying he's there now, to-be, grows up another notch and says, look, get on my back, I'll take us to a win with this team. If not anything, we'll challenge this team. And if everybody can jump on his back and go with that short game that they did early in the season, the first three games, and start to move the chains and keep the chains moving, then maybe you got a chance to stay in this game. But three and outs and kicking field goals is a wash.
Okay, I'm just hoping he don't get killed. And I said killed. K-I-L-T.
That's a good point. Yeah. Because you know what? That guy on the other side is coming in there with a chip on his shoulder to prove that we should have took him first.
Exactly.
And he wants to get his hands on number one and tell number one, hey, look, you was actually number two. So you got to protect Kyler. You got to protect Kyler. If you don't protect this guy, that game's going to get ugly real fast. So hopefully they can protect him. I think you can protect him by getting him out of that pocket a lot, too. Roll him out a little bit more. Make the defense kind of move around. Don't let him be a sitting duck, you know, quick game.
Yeah.
And then when you want to go deep, roll him out. Because if he sits back there with a depleted offensive line, and the 49ers are the leading team in the league at getting pressure, 33.1% of the time, they are just relentless pressure. So you can't let Kyler sit back there as a sitting duck and take that pressure. And his legs are going to be really important tonight to stay alive tonight himself. So hopefully he can do that. But I see us. Let's just get out of this game healthy, and you know, do a couple of practice plays or whatever, and let's get out of here. Get this whole week we got coming up, week and a half, and get ready for Tampa or whoever it is we playing next. Because I just don't see us matching up to this team at all tonight.
Man, there's two sets of legs that will be very important tonight. Kyler's running away from everybody, and the punter kicking. Because he's going to punt about 15,
exactly.
16 times. Because what did my man from Seattle say? And it applies to the Niners. beep beeps, you hit him in the mouth over and over,
over and over again.
All right, bro.
Yep.
Well, tell everyone how they can check you out, get a hold of you.
Oh, hey, Paul, real quick. Real quick. One other key thing about this game tonight.
Yeah.
Do you remember last year's Thursday night game? Denver Broncos whooped us 42-10. And
yeah.
Who got fired after that game?
Oh, yeah, huh?
Mike McCoy got fired, right? Yeah,
yep.
The offensive coordinator got fired last year. This year it could be the defensive coordinator. If this dude come out here and don't put up a fight or switch his defense to the point where he can put players in places to make plays, like last week, he did not go man-to-man and let Patrick man up with Michael Thomas. This week, it's Sanders. If he doesn't put Patrick Peterson on his guy one-on-one all throughout this game, this dude's got to go.
I'm about to let you go because we're against the clock, but I got to ask you, man, what advanced do you, bro? You've been on this man since he signed his contract. What did he do to you?
What did he do to me? Nothing. It's just, hey, this is the NFL. It's what have you done lately? And all you've done lately is not know how to make game, in-game, and halftime adjustments.
After the first preseason,
you got
to go.
Not for long when you don't know how to adjust and what's going on with the game you're playing against the team you're playing against.
You've been firing man since week one. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You've
but
been firing
it's warranted,
week one.
Though. It's warranted. Think back. When we played Carolina, you had a whole week to game plan defensively against two people on Carolina, and you couldn't get it done. You knew to tie it in. And McCaffrey was going to get the ball. You had nothing set up to stop that. We ain't stopped the tight end all year long. That's got to be the defensive coordinator somewhere. I mean, I know it's talent also, but still. Put somebody on the freaking tight end, man.
I'm going to text you later tonight and then tomorrow morning
just to see
if Van still got his job. And if he got his job, then I know I'm going to have a depressed Earl Burnett somewhere.
Exactly. For sure, especially tonight. If I don't see Patrick Peterson one-on-one with Sanders the whole game, wherever he goes. If I don't see that, then yeah, my hands will be. I'm gonna be ticked off. He'd still be here the next week.
I don't want to see you.
I never
want to
call for a man's job. I don't want to call for a man's job. But this is the NFL, stands for not for long. You can't make end game and halftime adjustments to what you have on your team. Something's wrong with you.
Everybody can catch us
on www.ksrnaz.com. All the programming goes down on there all throughout the day, 24 hours a day, 9 o'clock till 2 a.m. in the morning. You got the hip-hop all night for all the artists in the area that send us the music that plays all night on the station. We got all the wonderful sports shows from the Cave Show to Easy Sports Talk to Casual Sports to JB and Benny Blue Review. We got it all down there for you at casualsportsradio.com. And that's where it's happening. It's growing big time like gangbusters.
You know, I've been hanging with the Sun, so if you ever need me, I got you on that basketball tip. Because
yeah, man. Well, you know it's getting hyped up down there. How these dudes start the ball now.
Hey.
So, yeah, for sure.
They spanked the Warriors last night like they stole a biscuit from them.
I know. I loved every minute of it, too.
Man.
Loved every minute of it.
Man. So, yeah.
Another conversation we'll get to in the next time because I got to get your opinion on DeAndre Ayton, man. I got to get your opinion on DeAndre Ayton. They playing this good without the dude. You think he's going to be able to come back with the same physicality they playing with right now? To be continued.
He got a choice. Yep, to be continued. And just don't do what I was going to do to you. Don't soundbite me because I got some soundbites to give you.
Oh, you know, I will break them out, too. I appreciate
right,
you
bro.
Having me, man.
I appreciate you, man. Hey, no, thank
all
you
right,
very much.
Man.
I'll catch up with you. All right, now.
All right, have a good one.
One bye. Only, you too. The one only Earl Burnett Casual Sports, very own creator of KSRN. 30 seconds, we're going to come back. We got Gabby. She's going to tell you what's going on here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And we got that in exactly. Set your clock, set your watch. You ready? 30 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Okay, so I lied. It was 31 seconds. But sitting down right next to me, the one, the only, Gab. Gab, you got a cigar in your hand. What are you smoking?
I'm smoking a Tatuaje Reserve that one of my favorite customers actually gave me.
So I might have to get off of my cigar of the week, JFR and Twitch. But no, I'm not.
You know what you like? Then stick with it. That's okay.
Gabby, what's going on here?
So in a couple of weeks, on Monday, November 18th, from 4 to 7 p.m., we will be having our annual big Perdomo event with the one and only Nick Perdomo, legend in the industry, fantastic, really nice guy.
LFA.
And so if you want to, well, come down, we'll have amazing deals on all the cigars, both single sticks and box deals, bunch of swag, raffle items. We have the beer and wine, Monday Night Football as well. So you can come down about an hour before the game, get your cigar deals, hang out, talk to Nick, and then watch the game with all the stuff.
Lockers.
Lockers says $300 a year, you get a $100 gift card and 10% off your total purchases. 10% off your purchases for the year. Plus, anytime we're having an event like the Perdomo one coming up, any percentage that we have for any deals, the locker members get a little something extra.
Tonight, Cardinals play, place will be packed.
Oh, yeah.
Cardinals play the Niners, place will be packed. Get down here. There are so many televisions down here for everyone to
perfect
enjoy.
For your NFL, your college ball, your basketball, and for all of our hockey fans out there.
So the both of you that watch hockey.
I think I'm the only one that I know that loves watching rugby.
If it's you, that means it's you and a hockey fan.
That's right.
So there we go. We got the bases completely covered. You also know pipes as well.
Yes, we have a small selection of pipes and pipe tobacco. And if you want to get started into that, just come on down and we'll give you the skinny and get you started and get you everything that you need to get into the wonderful world of pipe smoking.
It's
a completely different beast.
I thank you, and I love Thursday's Cigars with the Cave Show. So
we love having
me.
You.
All right, well, you know what? We'll wrap this bad boy up in exactly 15 seconds. Thank you, Gabby. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.